It is so good to be back with you from our long trip and see your faces again. We missed you every Lord's Day and most of the time in between as well. The singing to God, the genuine fellowship with other Christians of like mind, the concern and love and prayers that are offered here for each other, the desire to be true to Scripture, the sound teaching that God has given us here. It is a true privilege and blessing to be here. And this is after going to a number of churches while we were gone. As Todd and Joanna sought a new place to worship and be taught. And I know that it grieves Christ and what he sees, what he hears in many churches today. But he is building his church, and we're a testimony of it. It is all of grace. It is all of God's power and goodness, not of us, as we so faithfully heard this morning. And we are privileged to be here. But it's so good to see your faces and to watch you smile while you sing. That's one of the delights of my heart. That's one of the blessings of being up here. This last hymn that we sang could not be more appropriate for what I want to talk to you about this morning. The last couple of verses says, "Lo, there breaks a yet more glorious day. The saints triumphant rise in bright array. The King of glory passes on his way. Alleluia, alleluia. From earth's wide bounds, from ocean's farthest coast, through gates of pearl streams in the countless host, singing to the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Alleluia, alleluia." Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I could have chosen quite a number of passages to speak about the thing that spawned my heart this morning, and that is hope. Hope. 1 John 3 is one of those passages which explains the hope of every believer in Jesus Christ and how this hope affects the way we live. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. Those who seek him, not those who are perfect. Those who seek his mercy and grace and help to live. In 1 John chapter 3, we begin reading at verse 1. Hear the word of God. "See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him, or this hope upon Him, purifies himself just as He is pure. Everyone who practices sin practices lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. And you know that He appeared in order to take away sins. And in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him sins, that is, continually sins. No one who sins has seen Him or knows Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that He might destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, continually sins, because his seed abides in him. And he cannot sin, that is, lead a life of sin, continually sin, because he is born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. Let's pray together. Father, we ask that you would let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning I want to talk about hope. Sitting on Joanna's porch for 2 months, looking at the trees, the hawks, the animals, fishing in the little river that runs by their house, being trapped for several days because of the flood. Looking at the beauty of God's creation, wondering how a God so great and almighty and powerful and infinite in all his ways and being, who holds the worlds in his hand, knows such a person as me and you, and cares and has sent his Son to redeem us from our sins. It's awe-inspiring to think of God this way and to let nature and certainly the scriptures in the face of Jesus Christ teach us the magnitude of God's interest in us as sinful fallen creatures. It's beyond imagination. It is something that we cannot fully understand now. We know in part, but it's only then that we shall know in full. So, in thinking of those kinds of things, and thinking of the world, the floods in the Carolinas and Florida, and I checked on Tom Askell several times to make sure they weren't blown away, and they were all safe. The sorrows of this world. Joanna's pastor was forced to resign his office because the reason was because he preached expositional preaching from the Word of God, preached through the Gospel of Mark, and they didn't want that anymore. Now he is looking for what to do. Joanna and Todd are looking for another place to worship and fellowship with God's people, where the Word of God is taught, And it is seriously discouraging to seek such a place. It's why we should be so thankful here. Nevertheless, hope is something everyone has. This word hope is used throughout the Old and New Testament in various ways, over 150 times. Sometimes it's talking about the hope of that the enemy will be defeated in battle. Sometimes it's talking about the hope, as David often spoke of hope in the Psalms, the hope of seeing God and of being in his presence, being raised from the dead. Paul hoped to visit various churches mentioned in his letters, but he didn't get to all of them as he hoped. The problem with hope is that if it is placed in anything in this life, anything, any possession, any health, any person, any job, anything that you can think of that has to do with living on this earth, friends, family, cars, don't hope in cars. Because you will be disappointed. We hope as kind of a natural part of humanity. But the problem is that none of those hopes are certain. They may not come to pass. The futility of earthly hopes are all around us. An athlete works out and trains in hope to make the team and win the contest or the game. He works as hard as he can, plays as hard as he can, but in the end, he's defeated. And his hopes for success and for victory are dashed. And then he has to deal with his own mind and heart, or her own mind and heart. And do I keep doing this? Do I keep going? Should I? This is so disappointing. And I put so much time and work into it. Is it worth it? A student studies and perseveres and seeks to enter into a college or a training program for a skill or something of that nature to complete the requirements and the qualifications to pursue and to find a good job, a job that would provide for the family, a job that would enable them to worship on the Lord's Day every Sunday. They seek such things. And yet, so many times, the job does not come. A lesser job is taken. Problems in the workforce that you work with, problems at school with teachers and students, problems in the town that you live in with certain people who have certain power and opinions. A young woman hopes, young man or woman hopes to marry someone who is a true believer and will love them forever. And they will help each other overcome every sin to the point that there will be just love there between them. And after a couple of hours of marriage, a couple of days, a couple of weeks, we begin to really see each other and know each other and experience the weakness of the flesh, the selfishness of the heart, even among believers. And we look to 50 years down the road to our 50th anniversary and say, will we make it? Will these 50 years be joyful? Will they be helpful? Will we raise children in the Lord? Will we have children? We hope so. Debbie and I hoped for the first 7 years of our marriage to have children and did not. Until God brought them our way. One who is ill hopes for healing. One who loves one who is ill hopes for their healing. To relieve them of pain, to relieve them of sorrow, sleeplessness, the struggles just to live each day, to eat, to walk. And yet, praying to the living God who can heal all things and who will one day. We live with the grief and sorrow of unanswered prayers. We hope for things, but they rarely come to pass on this earth when we hope in the things of this world or the circumstances of our life. They rarely come to pass as we had hoped, and then we have to deal with our heart. We have to deal with how it's going to respond to disappointed hopes and dreams. A parent rejoices at the birth of a child, and we're having a bunch of them around here lately. It's wonderful. They pray before the child is born and after and every day that this child will be protected from the evil of this world, will be saved from the sinfulness of their own heart, to live a life of thanksgiving, love, grace, success, happiness in Christ. But down the road, it's quite clear that sometimes those children of homes that are Christian and godly and seeking to raise children in the Lord, these children go astray into the world and are lost. Hopes are disappointed. The futility of earthly hopes is all around us. And if we live our life in the hope of someone changing, of possessing something, of gaining some privilege or honor, the problem is that these hopes are not always certain that the goal will be reached. And the older you live, the more you see that. There are some who will say, I know you will reach your goal. Press on. I know you will. There are some who say, I know that you will be healed. Just keep praying. I know you will succeed in what you're trying to do. I know that you will get this job. I know that you will have children. I know. The problem is they don't know, and you don't know, because all things are in the hands of God. Only God knows the future. Athletes have failed to win. Students and workers have failed to get the job they want. Workers see others advance past them, less qualified. Spouses grieve over the lack of love and faithfulness in a marriage. Grieve, husbands, parents grieve over their children's rebellion when all they're trying to do is teach them the ways of God and protect them from themselves until they come of age. Those who are ill sometimes die. And pastors grieve at the lack of spiritual growth and maturity in their sheep, many times questioning their own calling and their ability to teach the Word of God and be a faithful pastor to help God's people. And so we have come up with the phrase, his hopes were dashed, her hopes were dashed. Yet hope is a good thing. If it's the right hope and put in the right place, it motivates us to pursue good things, but hope in the things and people of this world are not a sure thing because everything is infected with sin. Everything, every person is infected with self-centeredness by nature. By nature, children of wrath, without God in the world. And even when God brings a sinner like ourselves to faith and salvation and change of mind and heart to think of the things of God, to think of love instead of selfish gain, to give instead of take, even then, these things, rightly pursued, are imperfect. And we have to deal with the problem that sin has robbed hope of its certainty in this life. If you'll turn with me to the book of James, chapter 4. James begins this chapter, and he's really talking about hope, wrongly placed in verse 1. What are the sources and conflicts among you? What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures or your hedone, your desires, your hopes that wage war in your members? You lust, you desire, you want something, you hope in something, and do not have it, so you commit murder. A person does not respond to you as you hope they would. And therefore, in your mind comes an angry thought, and words of anger come out, and an unwillingness to forgive, a hatred toward the person. This is because your hopes were dashed and you responded to God's will in your life with anger toward that person, murder. You're envious and cannot obtain. You have hopes to get something. It doesn't come to pass, so you fight and quarrel. Just think about that. The next time you fight and quarrel with someone, what had you hoped for? How had you hoped for them to respond? And they did not, and so instead of forgiving them while you stand praying and loving them in spite of their faults, you became angry and attacked them with words, or at the very least, held a grudge and refused to forgive. That's what this is about. But James says also in chapter 4 and verse 13, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city. Now this is a hope. Today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. That's the goal. That's the hope. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You don't know. You don't know the future. You don't know if someone's going to love you forever. You don't know if you're going to advance and achieve the goals in business or work or financial goals or house or cars or a gathering of people that just think you're the greatest thing in the world. you don't know, and I don't know. You do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. You're like those clouds on the Appalachians and the Blue Ridge that they come down and cover the mountains. And in the morning, you can see them there. And then you go and do something and come back and they're gone. That's what our life is like. It's only a little while compared to the infinity of God's existence. If we could measure that in some way in the past, and the years and the days and the hours and the decades and the gazillion years that the future holds, one day is pretty small. And to think that we're going to go and do this or that tomorrow and depend upon it and have hope in it, that we would be happy, content, provided for, loved, is a false dream. You're just a vapor. I'm just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, he said, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. Our life is not controlled by ourselves. When you try to control someone to make you happy, you find out greater sorrow in the end. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, everything is in God's hands. I deserve nothing. He has given me so much to this very date. I have hopes for tomorrow, but I will trust God. I will rest in His goodness, His wisdom, His power to bring to pass what He deems is good for me. And my hope will be in God Himself, not in this world, not in a fallible human being, not in the things I possess, not even in my hell. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this and that. But as it is, you boast in your ignorance. All such boasting is evil. It's evil. It's not just wrong, or it's not edifying for you or helpful to you. It is evil because you hoped in yourself and you hoped in this world instead of God, and realize that every day that we live is a gift of God. And we're to use that day as if it were our last one for His glory, to love one another, to love our neighbor, to love God with all our heart. Because our hopes in things of this world and in what we have the power and ability and will to accomplish will be dashed at last, sooner or later. Francis Schaeffer was a well-known theologian in the 20th century. And he wrote a little booklet called Ash Heap Lives. And he was trying to explain to Christians that everything we own, everything we seek for ourselves, will ultimately be burned up at last when Christ comes into ashes. Won't be anything left. And the only thing that will be left is our eternal soul standing before a holy God, where we take hold of Christ to be our Savior, or we've rejected Him in this life and end up in hell. ash heap lives, because hope in the wrong things is futile. Hope in earthly things is futile. Hope in another person to be your little God who pleases you and gives you everything you want in life is futile. And then to become angry because they don't become what you want them to become to make you happy is evil. Where are the commandments of God? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemy. Love one another. Our life is to be on the stream of love to God and man in every moment as a Christian because we have first been loved by Him. It is not that we love, but that He first loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We are well loved, and Christians are called to believe that. So what is this wrong hope to become? And that is back in 1 John chapter 3. Verse 3 says, everyone who has this hope fixed on Him, that is Jesus, purifies himself just as He is pure. Now, what hope is He talking about? The first two verses. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. And such we are. He is calling the Christians to believe that when they have come to the Father in the name of Christ and been justified by faith alone, that they are the called children of God. And they are to think of themselves that way. We are the children of God. This has been accomplished by Christ for us. Not because we deserve anything or deserve anything above other people. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. The world did not know Christ. And when we come to Him and are adopted by the Father as the children of God, we must expect that the world will not know us. They will not love us. They will not give up their lives for us, though even perhaps for a man, someone would give up his life to save his life in a war, an organ donated, or things of that nature. Still, hope is based upon what God has done for us, is doing for us, and shall do for us. Beloved, now we are children of God. Now that would be enough. And it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We are not, at this moment, the best Christian is not what they should be or will be. It has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope on Him or fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. In other words, he or she pursues a godly life in loving God and keeping His commandments, of conquering the thoughts of their mind for godliness instead of selfishness and sinfulness in their thinking, overcoming those dominating sins of our past that still tempt us in our minds at times. These things that defile us in our minds, we want to be rid of. We want to be purified of our words that we speak, and somehow they hurt and condemn or accuse. We don't want to be that way. We don't want to say those things to harm another, to demean them, to show that we're not satisfied with their behavior toward us. It's more blessed to give than to receive, Jesus said. Hope, the only hope that will purify our hearts and minds, is not the hope to achieve something or to possess something or to obtain the love of another person. The only hope that lasts and is pure is the hope of glory. The hope of seeing Christ face to face. The hope of the resurrection of the body, when our bodies will be raised from the dead and joined with our glorified souls to live in an eternal heaven with Christ, with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, and all the saints that have gone before us, and all the saints that are around us now. We will live eternally in happiness, in joy. We will eat of the trees along the river of God. We shall sing and praise with His people. We shall, I believe, serve God by doing things in the new heavens and the new earth without sin and thorns and stones in the ground, without the interference of ungodly people. It is an eternity with Christ. It does not appear, but now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, instantly transformed and eradicated of sin and made perfect in love in our minds and hearts, and given a body that is not only raised from the dead, but glorious and eternal. That our perfect minds and hearts and loves can serve God and His people for eternity. Now, what does he mean? Everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Well, this hope, believed upon, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. When this hope is placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and the fullness of His salvation, not just for 30 years or 70 years or 100 years on earth, but for uncountable eternity, infinity, to be with Him in perfect love, in perfect love for one another. When these things come to be, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is. And this hope purifies us because, verse 4, everyone who practices sin is also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. This hope upon what we have received from God through the blood and righteousness of Christ, believing in Him, submitting to Him as Lord, seeking to love Him and keep His commandments, seeking in this life to bring honor to Him in the way we think and what we say and what we do, all of these things will be consummated in such a way that our concept of happiness and joy can only be estimated now, but will be fulfilled before Him. He came not only to forgive us of our sins, but to help us to overcome them, to remove anger and murder from the heart, to remove sinful thinking and lust after another person, to remove deceit and lying from our very souls, to teach us to be content with what God has provided and not to covet what others have, to teach us that the Lord's Day is a blessed day, to rest our souls and our bodies and to worship God with His people, and that we must protect it and guard it and keep it for ourselves and our family. There will be a time in heaven when grown children who did not honor their father and mother on earth while they were alive will be transformed by the grace of God on earth, and their parents will experience in heaven the greatest love of their children that they've ever considered. The glories, the joy, the happiness of things to come are based upon what Christ has accomplished on the cross for us for eternity, and especially when all things are made new and He raises us from the dead and we begin a living a life that is so infinitely greater than the best experiences we have on earth, that we will be so filled with happiness and joy. I don't think we could contain it in our present fallen bodies and minds. But when God makes us new, He gives us the capacity to take in more of His love, His kindness, His goodness, to enjoy more the love of His people, and to give the love, our love, to those people. It's an existence which is worth waiting for and having hope in. Now turn with me finally to Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. So what does hope have to do with purifying ourselves as Christ is pure? Well, the answer to this question is that when we are tempted to sin against God's commands, to hate, to be angry, to lose heart and go into despair, depression, discouragement, to withdraw from others who've harmed us, whatever it may be, Hebrews 12 tells us, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses are surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and with the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. In other words, let us pursue Christ-likeness, pursue obedience to God and submission to Him, pursue love toward our enemy, our brothers and sisters, our neighbor, and our God. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes or looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who has endured such hostility by sinners against Himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. What do you do in a moment of temptation? Someone has said something. Someone's broken their promise. You're tempted to, you find anger, words and thoughts that you want to hurt them or give back as they've given to you, or seek revenge in some way. You have this anger start to stir up. What do you do? Why do you stop it? You look unto Jesus at that moment. And remember that for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. You look unto Jesus, who is preparing a place for you and for all of those who trust in Him, all of His people, You look unto him in the moment as the fulfillment of all your hopes and dreams. And then the power of that temptation to fulfill your earthly hopes diminishes. And you're able to forgive as you've been forgiven, to love as you've been loved, and serve as you've been served, because you have looked into the face of Christ and understood what he is preparing for us. And those who have their hope fixed on him purify themselves as he is pure. Give up your false hopes. Give up the hopes that are uncertain and then drive you crazy when they don't come to pass. Look unto Jesus. Look at him in the Gospels and see every step of love and sacrifice and suffering that he endured to bring you to his side. Look at his resurrection from the dead and believe again that he is coming to raise you from the dead, to end all things, to institute a new heaven and the new earth, which is eradicated of sin and Satan and only a world of love. Believe that. Look unto Jesus. And the disappointed hopes and their temptations to sin will begin to fade away and lose their power. And you will be able to live a Christian life. Christ is our hope. He keeps his word. Let's pray. Father, if anyone here has not yet come to Christ to be their hope, and are they tired of the disappointed hopes of this world and the infection of sin and everything, especially in their own minds and hearts, we pray that you would bring them to believe, Lord Jesus, that you're alive and you know every one of us, and the prayers of that come to you, particularly the prayers of repentance for self-rule and sin, false hopes, and come to you, that they come to you in faith as the one great unchanging hope of the human condition and life. I pray that you would bring them to yourself to believe in your atonement for their sin, your resurrection from the dead, and the glory yet to be revealed in us. And help us who have walked many years with you, Lord Jesus, experiencing your patience, forgiveness, and love every day for our remaining sins. Help us to rejoice in the greatness of your love and your salvation and trust you, not ourselves or others, and in the moment of trial and temptation to look unto you and see in your face what is yet to come, that we may live on earth now for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.